Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to SPPRA Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today we'll be speaking with author Charlene Peterson about her children's book, The Misadventures of Cowhead, Cowhead's Big Move. Hi, Ms. Peterson. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. So if you would you be able to tell our listeners a little about The Misadventures of Cowhead, Cowhead's Big Move?
Absolutely. It's actually about a little calf who's getting ready to move. And, you know, for anybody, you know, moving, it can be really hard, especially for a kid. You know, you start imagining, is anybody going to like me? Am I going to meet new friends? Well, that's what's going through Cowhead's mind at this time. So she gets there, and all of a sudden, she's getting teased because she's different. She's got a big head. And she meets this interesting duck called Dee Dee Duck. And Dee Dee becomes her best friend, and she tells her, you know, look, we can be best friends, and it's all about being different, and it's okay. It's what makes you unique. And then she starts telling her, look at my big feet. They're the best thing. They help me swim, and I'm a super swimmer because of my feet. Look at Gloria Goose. Look at her long neck. That's what makes her different. So it's all about letting the kids know it's okay to be different, and moving is not as bad as it truly seems.
That's excellent, and I think what I love about it is that that's such an important lesson for kids. I think that being teased for being different is often something that kids go through all the time, and seeing that we're unique is very important. So what inspired you to have this book, and also with such a specific and important lesson?
Well, it's two things. My sister and I, we banter constantly, and it's all in fun, of course. But, you know, the name came from her. She came over to my house one day, and she had on these overalls, and she had her hair in these braids. And I said, oh, you look like a little cowboy, cowhead. I said, all you're missing is some red boots. So hence the beginning of my character. She said, oh, you should write a book about that. And so I really didn't think about it right away. But when I had my youngest daughter, she's 9 now, but when I had her, I started putting together the little antics and things that she did growing up. And so when we were moving, because I'm originally from San Diego, and we were moving there, she was still a baby, but she was still kind of like, you know, she's going to miss her grandmother, her aunts, and things of that. But I said, you know what? I can write about her and the things that she does and says as she grows up. This book was just the start. And I have a series that I'm going to complete with this. And all of them are really based on the things that my daughter did, said, and spoke about.
That's excellent. I mean, I think what a great place for inspiration for children's books is children themselves, which I think is fantastic. So I see the inspiration for this book, Cowhead's Big Move, and I love hearing that it's going to be part of a series. With this book itself, what really made you decide to sit down and write a book? Because a lot of us, you know, we have ideas and all of this, but you really went for it and you wrote this fantastic kids book. Had you been a writer before, or is this your first foray into literature?
Well, no, it's my first children's book. I love to write. I've enjoyed writing since high school, actually, and that's when it all started. We had an assignment due, and I think I was like the only kid that was excited about the assignment. You know, we were told to write a poem and some stories, and I wrote several. And from then on, I realized I really enjoy this. When we had creative writing in high school, I just enjoyed writing stories. And I just kept going for it. And eventually I said, you know what? I'm getting all these great ideas. I'm going to put it together in a book. And I'm going to, at that time, I didn't think I was going to even have another kid. I said, you know, I'm going to put this into a story and I'm going to write books. And so I would take little notes and write little ideas down. And eventually it started forming into a book. But then after I had my daughter and she started talking and doing little things, I started to curve it toward her and the little life lessons I was giving her as she was growing up. And hence, here I am, Cowhead series.
That's excellent. And I'm sure that being around your daughter and all of the, as you put it, antics that kids get into. You know, they're so funny on their own. And so I'm curious, one of the things that I love is all of the animal characters and how with Gloria Goose and Dee Dee Duck, that all of those differences are so things that animals have. So what made you want to write the book with animal characters rather than, say, human characters about a human girl that moves? What inspired the animal element of the book?
Ew, good question. You know what? I never saw, like, people doing this. I always saw, like, you know, kids, they love animals. They mm-hmm. love animals. Because the kids, they're like, they're people, they're family. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be a little different. I'm going to turn this so it's actually animals, because I think kids relate to them better and they're more comfortable around them. And I thought, for my book to stand out, I'll make all the characters animal, but give them human-like qualities. To make it, I thought it would make the book a little warmer and more inviting.
Definitely, and I definitely feel that way. And, you know, especially the way that they're illustrated and their personalities. I mean, I think that warm and inviting are great words for it. And I've been in education for a while, and I couldn't agree more that kids do seem to relate to animals in this very interesting way, where it almost creates a distance where I don't know. It's oftentimes it's hard for them to relate to a drawn and made up other kid, but if it's an animal, they're willing to go along with it, which is great. And so, with your main character, with Cowhead, was just that interaction with your sister why you chose to make the protagonist a cow?
Yes. And it was this amazing thing. I had this image in my head. And I met with this one gentleman who actually was able to draw the drawing based on what I was asking him to do. And so all the characters are just really from just out of my head that he brought to life. And it was just amazing how when he actually gave me the main character, he only had to tweak it once, and hence Cowhead. And I love her. She's the cutest thing. And I think she is adorable. And I think all kids, as well as the parents, can really relate to her, because she's just this loving, adorable little character, and she's just fun.
And that's the thing is that she's so easy to like and so easy to relate to, because as you had said, kids have these anxieties about new places and about fitting in and all of those kind of elements of change. And so with your daughter, Do you read the book to her? Do you tell her maybe unwritten Cowhead stories?
Yes, she was actually my focus audience. I would write it. I'd read it to her, and I would, you know, I would kind of see if she's paying attention. If she's not, then I need to change this. I wanted to make sure that if I caught her attention, because she's a little busy bee, if I caught her attention and I can grab that, then I knew that I could actually get it to, you know, other kids to be interested in it. And when she showed interest, it was like, Mommy, can you read me a story tonight? I'm like, sure, what do you want to read? I want you to read me a Cowhead story. So I started new stories, because I started reading the same one over and over and over again. And I kept developing it and making it better and better. And finally, I got to the point where I actually have 10. And I would have to, like, you know, she would ask me, well, when are we going to get pictures? When are we going to get pictures? And I said, oh, they're coming. I would go online, and I would, you know, add pictures to the stories I was doing just so she would have something to look at. And
right.
I was reading her my stories as opposed to somebody else's storybooks that we bought from the store.
And I'm sure that, I mean, there's something also just kind of wonderful about that as a bonding way. And also, as you said, your test audience to see, and I'm sure she loves that. Mom makes up stories just for me. I'm sure she loves that. And so what are some kids' books that that might have influenced you? Which published authors already do you admire and maybe draw some inspiration from?
Oh my goodness, I hate that you asked me that question, because of course I go blank. But it's an author, and she writes these books about if you give a cat a cupcake, he'll ask for more. If you give a moose a muffin, he'll ask for another. And I can't think of her name, but I love her stories, and they're so cute. And it's so true, because it's just like a kid. If you give a kid a cupcake, of course they're going to want sprinkles and frosting and everything else that goes with it. And so my daughter really related to those, and we really like those books, and I think we have her full collection, unfortunately, and I do apologize to you. I don't know her name.
I can't remember. It's actually kind of driving me crazy right now, because I know exactly who you're talking about, starting with If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, and I remember being a kid and being read that, and we'll have to look that up later, and I'll post it. But I find that very, very interesting that, once again, her stories, much like yours, have this kind of moral component. They're not just kind of fluffy, oh, isn't this fun? They really do teach kids. And what are some lessons that you think are important for young children to learn?
Okay, well, before I answer that question, I have her name. Her name is Laura Joffe. It's J-O-F-F-E.
Oh! Excellent.
So the lesson that I think that I would give the children is, you know, for me, I think the stories that I come up with are lessons that help the kids grow and to understand life. Like, I have another story I'm working on. It's about Cowhead and Cocky Cornelius. And Cocky Cornelius is kind of being mean to her. But the lesson that she gets from that is that her mom says, you know, just because one kid is mean doesn't mean you have to go on the same level. You don't have to be mean because that kid is being mean. You learn to love everybody despite their faults. So the life lessons, I want kids to pick up and say that, you know, I'm not perfect and neither is everybody else, but I can learn from them and be a better kid so that I can eventually grow into a better adult and then teach my kids the same thing. So it's a repeat pattern. And it's also good for parents, because when parents can also share these tools to help maybe explain things to their kids and in a way that the kids actually understand, so we're not going over their head and they're kind of looking at us like, wait, what?
And it definitely is difficult to communicate to kids some of these lessons, and they come home from school upset because somebody bullied them and said that their shoes were silly looking or those things. And then you can just pull out one of the Misadventures of Cowhead and read it to them, which I think is fantastic.
Oh, thank you. I hope that is the case. And I am hoping that, you know, eventually it will be a household name for, you know, parents and kids as well as teachers, because I think teachers can actually use this book in their classrooms to teach the kids lessons and give them learning lessons as they grow up as well.
Yes, and I think that's very important. And having been a teacher, I can tell you that oftentimes it's hard to get through to a child, especially when they're upset and you start lecturing. And as you put it so well, it goes right over their heads. But if you pull out this, you know, wonderful little story with this adorable character and just say, I'm just going to read you a story, it'll seep in a way which is great. And have you shared the book with any of your daughter's teachers?
Not yet. I have another job that actually pays me, my 9-to-5. And so when I get off work, the lady that I need to speak to, she's already gone for the day. So I have to schedule it where I can actually meet with her and talk to her, because I do want to share with her school, and I think that they would love it. Again, their school starts from pre-K to eighth grade, and I think that it would be good for her class, and I think they would really love it. Of course, my daughter has told everybody, oh, my mom's a famous author. So when I get from school, all the other kids come running and say, when are we going to get your book, Ms. Peterson? When are we going to get your book? So I have to make that soon.
Yes, well, that's adorable. That's great. It's so nice, you know, how proud your daughter is of you. I mean, it also sets a great example. And so you also work a full-time job then. How do you manage to find time to write then, raising a daughter, having a full-time job? How do you manage it?
Well, you know what? My mom and my husband call me the crazy lady. I'm actually in school also for my dissertation, and writing actually gives me a release. It takes my mind off the stress and agony of my research and my writing for my dissertation. So I can go into a whole other world. I become this kid. I put myself in my daughter's shoes, and I see what it's like to really be a 7-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 4-year-old, you know? And I love it, because I'm in a whole different world, and I'm transformed. And I just have to, I have to find that balance of, you know, if I am too busy, I tell my daughter, hey, if you need mommy's attention and you don't feel like you're getting it, tell me. Because sometimes, you know, we as adults, we get caught up in our own world. So I make it a point to make mommy and daughter day with her, that we do something special at least once a week, just me and her. And I just have to balance my time, you know. I'll call her, I'll text her. You know, when she's with my mom or her or my husband, you know, I'll call and just say, hey, just mommy, just want to say hi, I love you. So I'm always letting her know I'm thinking about her no matter what I'm doing, so that my jobs are not overtaking time and love from her.
We have a superwoman on the line. That's incredible. I mean, that's fantastic to find all of this time for all the work, but then also make sure. And it doesn't surprise me that, you know, your love of children's books stems from your love of your daughter and the importance of that. Would that be? I think it's very common for a lot of parents to kind of let things fall by the wayside. Is that a theme that you would want to explore in one of the Misadventures of Cowhead? Always making a time for people who are important to you?
That's a very good topic. I think I'm going to have to write that one down and make sure I add that to my husband. You know, the hours of the day are really short, so a lot of times once I get her tucked into bed, I stay up, and I'm up pretty late sometimes. And sometimes it's either I'm working on a story or I'm writing my dissertation. It's, you know, whatever needed to take place at that time. I keep pad and pen next to my bed at night because I wake up with an idea. I have a recorder that I keep with me at all times. So if I have an idea, I'll click that and I'll just save it so I have it for later. So, you know, this is a lot of different things. And it's just, again, you got to prioritize. And it was something I'm really passionate about. And I just didn't want it to fall by the wayside. And I thought, this is something great for my daughter to have for the future. And for her to maybe build on, see where her talents lie later in life.
Yeah, I think, and I can see all of the resources that it has for all the other people, but it's so nice that it really comes back to you and your daughter, and is something that it seems has very much bonded you, which is great. You know, I think that's, and I think that comes through in the book, is that real love, that you know, genuine feeling and understanding of children, which I think is fantastic. And so the illustrations, how did those come about?
Well, I was actually looking for an illustrator a while back, and the illustration started. The book was done, but it needed to be tweaked a little bit. But I wanted to get the character put together because that was my focus. Let me get my main character because then I can really fly with that. And my husband actually helped me find the illustrator who started the illustrations. And I hired him to put my thoughts into drawings and characters. And he signed the contract, he agreed, and he was like, hey, if this is what you want, I can do this for you. And, you know, if it blooms into something further, then great. But unfortunately, he had some health issues and he couldn't complete them. So that's when with SBPRA Publishing Company. And the author who, Calhart, she was able to complete the things that were not previously done by the other gentleman.
So that's very interesting. So it was sort of a team effort in all of these things, because they're perfect. I mean, the way that all the characters are drawn, I mean, it seems like the illustrators clearly understood the spirit of your book. Which is great, because, you know, younger kids, they love those pictures, and it's a whole other level of storytelling. So do you ever kind of sketch out where you want the character standing and their expressions, or do you just kind of trust the illustrator?
Well, I don't sketch because I can't draw. I can draw stick figures. That's the best I can do. But what I'll do is I try to articulate exactly what I'm looking for and where they should go. And then I have to trust the illustrator to do their job, because that's what they do. They're illustrators, and I'm the writer. So if I can articulate exactly what I'm looking for and they bring that to life for me, then we've both done an awesome job working as a team together.
That's fantastic. And teamwork once again. It sounds like you you live the morals that you write, which is great.
I'm
so sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
You were saying?
I said I try to keep with those morals, and I try to, you know, put those morals into my kids, and, you know, and I'm hoping I'm doing the right thing and doing a good job of raising my kids, and that they'll take these lessons also. You know, even my older ones, you know, they really like the books too, and they share them with their friends and their friends who have children as well. So I think all my kids are proud of their mom.
That's great. No, and also, I mean, that's what's here, and from an education standpoint, is so it's a great book for a parent or a teacher to read to students, but also great for developing readers who are, you know, it's a good resource for something that they can read and be engaged in, because the stories are so engaging that it's hard with a new and struggling reader in second grade or first grade. And to have something that they would enjoy so much would also be great. So that's also, you know, terrific to have a book that kids are actually going to enjoy reading.
Well, I'm glad you think that. Thank you so much. That really means a lot to me. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, of course. I mean, I secretly I don't have any kids myself, but I do love kids' books. There's something that even for adults that is kind of charming, and there's a lot of stuff we know in the back of our heads. Then you pause and think, oh, you know, maybe I shouldn't make all these judgments on people. It's kind of easy to stand here and do this or whatever little moral lesson. And so if it's not a too much of a secret, what is our next misadventure of Cowhead coming soon to us?
Well, I'm hoping that next year, this year's almost over, so I want to give this book some time to kind of get out there and get recognized and let people really enjoy the first book and start thinking, oh, is she going to come out with the next one, another one, you know? And then next year, we'll start the process of getting the other one done. So
Excellent.
Instead of just one. So let's get this one going first, and then we'll focus on the other one.
That sounds very smart, and also you get everyone excited and you bring them in, and then they're saying, you know, Mom, when's the next Cowhead? When's it coming? Great to get the buzz going.
Exactly. So once they get the warm and fuzzies going from this one, we'll bring out the next one and the next one and thereafter. And I'm hoping soon, I don't know how soon, but I'm hoping to get a plush doll for the main character done as well. And I think that the kids would really, really like a doll to go with the book. Nothing like having a little plush doll as you're going to get it tucked in. And you have got your baby doll, and then you've got the storybook, and then all kind of just wraps itself up together.
That's fantastic. Wow, you have such a large vision. I think that's great. And also then kids can have their own misadventures of Cowhead while they're waiting for the next book. You know, they can play out their own and have all the – do you plan to have all the characters as plush dolls?
I do. I plan to have all the characters as plush dolls, but I will start with the main character first. And then because, you know, the main character is a girl, my second one will most likely be Cocky Cornelius, one of the other characters in the book.
Boys. That's and just build out from there, and so have the ones for girls and boys, and then eventually you get the whole collection.
Yes, absolutely.
That's excellent. And one of my last questions for you, because our audience are a lot of writers, a lot of young writers, up and coming writers, or like yourself, are engaged in full time jobs and still following their passion. Do you have any advice for some of the writers out there in our audience?
I would say never give up. Just keep writing. Write what you know, what you're passionate about, and what you believe in, and you just keep pushing yourself, and don't let anyone derail you from what you're trying to do. And also research. Research everything, because no matter how much information you think you know, there's still something out there that you don't know. And the more research you have behind you, the easier it is to take this journey and just push through it.
That's excellent advice. And you know, I love that, following your heart and research. What kind of research did you do for this book?
Well, I actually, I had originally thought about going with a traditional publishing company, and doing all the research I had, you realize that it's not as easy as one would think it is to actually break through that. Unless you're famous and anything, or you have to have a literary agent, somebody who's going to help you and push your book. But again, that costs money. And when you're trying, when you're doing this, you know, you really don't have a lot of money. Starting off, you have your other everyday bills and things to do. So I did research on self-publishing, and I looked through several of them. And you don't want to just go with the first one who gives you, who says everything that you want to hear.
Right.
You really have to do something. And if you can, talk to other people who've actually gone through the process. And if they're a really good company, they're not going to, they'll actually give you other people that you can talk to. They'll say, you know what, let me give you this person. They've gone through our company. Not just the reviews that they have on their website, because anybody can write a review. You want to talk to someone who's actually gone through the full process that you're trying to go. And I did that. And the lady that I spoke with, she really made me feel comfortable about choosing the company that I'd gone through. And they have really great marketing. And that's another thing. Once you have the book and you have it, it's complete, you want to think about how you're going to get out there to the audience. And marketing is a big thing. And you can spend thousands and thousands of dollars on marketing. So, again, you have to research and try to find the best gaps and the best places that your money is going to push you through in the marketing arena.
That's very good advice. And I agree because, you know, writing the book is a huge part of it, but then getting people to read it and finding those audiences and self-publishing, I think, in this day and age, becoming very much the norm of what one has to do because, as you said, unless you're Jonathan Franzen or a famous writer, you know, you got to put it out there yourself. And I think, once again, you know, with those morals you have, the not giving up and the kind of doing it on your own is fantastic. And one reading this book, it could be published by, you know, Penguin or any of those, and the quality is there from start to finish. So I think you've done a fantastic job with this, and I can't wait for the next one. So I guess I'm gonna have to wait till next year, but I'll hold on until then.
Well, next year's just around the corner, so you won't have to wait too long. And definitely, when the next one comes out, give me another call, and we can talk about the next book.
Excellent. I would love to. And I can't wait to see all the other misadventures that the characters get in. And you'll have to let me know when that plush doll comes out.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Ms. Peterson. I really appreciate the conversation. You really do seem like a superwoman in your life and a extremely talented author. In your writing. So thank you for speaking with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, hopefully we will speak again soon.
Okay. I look forward to it. You have a pleasant day.
You too. You too. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was author Charlene Peterson discussing her book, The Misadventures of Cowhead, Cowhead's Big Move. The book is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and from the publisher at sbprabooks.com/Charlene Peterson. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. This has been Charles Green with SBPRA Radio. Read on.